Welcome back to the Kudamine Champions on ABC Local Radio. Good to have you with us. We're back here for the next hour until we hand over to the grandstand team, who will be bringing you grandstand live from the Sydney Cricket Ground after midday. Good morning again to you, Torch McGee.
Yes, good morning to everyone out there.
To Billy Baxter.
Good morning, sir.
To Ian Cover.
Yes, hello again, Richo colleagues, footy fans.
Now, we come to our social media question of the week.
And before we do, can I just... Well, do you want to do that and I'll do the mailbag after that? Yeah, go up to that, then I'll give you a bit from the mailbag.
We'll come to mailbag afterwards.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just collating it. Champs isn't here to do the mailbag, and I'm having to do it, and it's very hard work.
Andy Belairs is one of the many things he does here at the Kudamine Champions is he has that new role of social media specialist, and he's been having a look at all the tweets and Facebooks that have come in on our question for the week, Andy.
Yes, indeed. I know it's a bit of a broken record here, but they've gone off again.
Yeah.
And the question was, in honour of James Sicily's short back and sides, the Hawthorne match-winning hero of last week, 2 weeks ago, what else could be brought back from the past of footy to make the modern game better? What from your dad's day of football could make the modern game better? And Peter starts us off on the Twitter with Don Scott's man bag and cravat.
Yeah, of course.
It's a good way to start. Susan Susan suggests the Salvos marching band, and my upward inflection is because she put a question mark on the end.
Okay.
Another one from Trevor. Bring back the big VB tubes or cans when once you drank them, you could use them to stand on and see over the bloke in front of you.
Can confirm that.
Even with the cans, you wouldn't be able to see, though, Billy.
Keep going, Andrew.
We can do this segment again ourselves.
Whiskey Westy, bring back the drop kick. Stylish, accurate and dependable. Copycat from Ballarat with blue suits and massive lapels.
Oh, yes.
A green cow who does tweet quite a bit reckons from her dad's day, bring back a blanket for throwing coins in going around the boundary line.
Yes.
Gary said that his dad used to love delicate Des Dixon and his no-nonsense clean-em-up style with a beer after the game.
I met Des up in Bendigo a couple of years ago.
How's he travelling?
He's a lovely man. It was very hard to reconcile him with the man I saw on the football field.
So is he now delicate?
He's warm and cuddly and delicate.
Well.
Back to you.
Thank you. Harry has one for us.
Hello, Harry.
He'd like to see brought back from his dad's day National conscription.
That'd sort them out.
Hey?
National.
They're all soft. They all go to university.
Glenn wants to see black boots polished with kiwi nugget.
Yes.
Handy on footy trips as well.
Garicha tweeted, and I can concur with this, Garicha, my dad used to love watching the Demons win premierships. That would make footy better.
Well, they're going to win another one soon.
Don't say that. Yeah. You put
it's only a matter of time.
No. I'm right on the bandwagon, Andy.
Swish, who we get much mirth from Swish.
Well, he would have had a tough night last night, he's a crow.
He's a big crow. But this might be an Adelaide thing too. Mm-hmm. Swish wants to see the return of green ginger wine and a Winnie Blue at three-quarter time.
I think the green ginger wine has to be in a brown paper bag.
It does.
Phineas got a call from his dad who suggested the Jenkins footy boots for greater ankle protection.
That's right.
The top liner.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Alistair tweeted at us, lathering up in the rooms pre-game to ensure a player's biceps have a bright sheen under the Friday night lights.
In fact, Poppy looked like he had a pink boot and a green boot last night.
Yeah, multicoloured.
He can't tell his left from his right.
No.
And we can switch. We'll switch over to the 774 Facebook page for a couple. Barb wants to see the return of the Gladstone bag.
I actually rang one of those betting agencies during the news to see what odds they'd give for Gladstone bag being an answer. They said it's second shortest.
Unbackable.
Second shortest. Only beaten by the Peanut Man.
And we have a Peanut Man as well.
Oh, there you go. They wouldn't pay out.
That's from Grant. Has to be bring back the Peanut Man. Yeah. Christopher wants to see the return of passing around a Craven A cork tip at three-quarter time. Matthew wants to see the muddy oval and the waterlogged ball. And on the email, one from to let us go here. Byron said, my 96-year-old dad still talks about the free kick in the Riverina League way back in the 50s, taken by Jimmy Shue, an 88-yard place kick for a goal. Bring back the place kick, I say.
Yes.
Actually, I've seen a couple of those. Is that all?
That is all.
Right, I just want to vote for one.
Any so floggers, Rooster?
Yeah, plenty of floggers.
I just want to vote for one, Andy, that you skipped over. Damo says that his father-in-law claims that he was a classy winger, and nowadays they're all just mids.
Yes, that's right,
could,
yes.
Could we please bring back the classy winger?
The classy winger.
Richmond had a few.
I was having. I've had a look at that show that Drew does now that he used to do on the telly.
The Winners rebooted.
Yeah, yeah. And I saw that game from the 80s with Carlton and Fitzroy and Gary Wilson and Kenny Hunter and all those Basusto playing stuff. Yeah. And the last quarter looked like they were using the same ball that they'd used in the first quarter.
Really?
There's never a shiny red ball.
That's right.
We should have asked Peter Carey. Did they get a new ball every quarter when he was umpiring? That's only 20 years ago.
They had to at Glen Ferry, I remember, because the balls would go through the goals and into the Hawthorn swimming pool, which, of course, it was a Saturday, so it was all locked. By the end of the game, there'd be all these balls
floating around.
An occasion one when you're over on the railway line.
Went into the train.
I've forgotten that.
Yeah, but my feeling is that there used to be two. There was a change at halftime.
Oh, that was an innovation.
Well, now they just seem to use a new one every minute because they've got a bag of them behind the goal.
Yeah. Well, balls used to be expensive. They must be cheap now, aren't
they? Yeah, giving them away by the sound of it. Yes, and look, a couple of things just to clear up before we go on
I was just going to clear up a bit about the question mark on Colonel? The Salvo. I reckon it was the Hyde Street Band myself.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Salvo's played in the final.
Yeah, that was the old gag. Who played on a half-forward flank on the Western Oval for 50 years and never got a kick?
The Hyde Street Band.
And just back to the quiz before the news.
Yes, boss.
I'll put it to you, Torchy. The bit we're carrying over, I'm not going to ask it again next week, sorted out now. Josh Kennedy for the Swans?
I think he's Josh P. Kennedy.
It gets Josh P. Kennedy all the time.
Yeah.
Does anyone know what the P stands for? Are we tipping Patrick?
We're tipping Patrick or Peter, I'd say.
I'd say Patrick. Mm.
John Kennedy Jr., he's been on the program. Can you ring in and tell us what you christened your son's middle name?
If the P's not Patrick, it's got to be a rank outside it,
Pordrig.
Yeah. So it's not Pierre.
Well, it might be like Peter Patrick Pius Keenan, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Josh Kennedy at the Eagles?
Is he a Josh J?
Josh J. We don't know what... That sounds a bit like a... after the game, they go after the Eagles disco and they got Josh J on the decks.
that'd be James, wouldn't it?
Would it?
Could be, or John. Oh. It could be JJ.
I'd be interested to know.
It could be Jared.
And just out of interest, Torchy,
yes.
When's the last time the Eagles played at the SCG?
Hasn't been for a while.
2010?
Yeah, because we always play them over there.
Is that a result of the compromised draw? 2010. They've been there for 6 years.
Yeah.
All right. And just quickly also, I should have mentioned this during country footy, but it's appropriate any time. During the week, I'm sure lots of people noticed the tragic passing of Brian Nazida down at Apollo Bay.
Yeah.
And the family is legendary in Apollo Bay. Richo, you would have encountered him in your holidays down there. His funeral was during the week. Biggest funeral ever seen, I believe, in Apollo Bay. And last Saturday afternoon, the reserves, I'm advised by Shirley Huddy Ricks. Hello, Shirley. The reserves hadn't won a game for ages, and they won last Saturday. And a lot of his old mates, well past their prime, actually pulled the boots on.
Yep. Oh, really?
For the bay.
Yeah, and went down to the ground. And our old mate, Matt Zerbo.
Hey, Matty.
Hi, Matt.
Plays in the same league.
Yep, has posted a marvellous tribute to Brian. On the Footy Almanac.
Okay.
What do you call it? Blog?
Yeah.
Thing? Website? Website.
If you look up Footy Almanac, you'll find that.
Yeah.
Good writer, Matt.
It's headed Everyday Orbits Foundation Blokes. So have a look. Well done, Matt.
You're with Kudamin Champions on ABC Local Radio. As you know, it's Anzac weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned earlier the big Anzac Day game on Monday at Brunswick Street Oval between Fitzroy and the Jackers. That's if you want something not quite so mainstream and the grandstand with the best view of the city in Melbourne. Also, a building tradition now is the Anzac Cup in the women's football. This is an annual game between the ADF All-Stars, that's the Australian Defence Force All-Stars, play a VWFL All-Star game. It's played on the Sunday. Now, joining us online now is Lieutenant Colonel Danny Glatz, who is coach of the ADF All-Stars. Lieutenant Colonel, can I call you Danny?
Oh, yes, please do.
Okay, so I just wasn't sure of the protocol there. Tell us about the history of this particular Anzac Cup game.
Well, this particular game is going to turn 6 years old this year. It was born, the idea of it was born about 7 years ago. The first ADF women's team formed in 2001, and we entered into what was then the Women's National Carnival, where we played against the state sides, and we did that for a number of years. But around about 2005, 2006, as the competition was becoming more serious, the states decided, probably quite rightly, that they wanted to make it a truly interstate competition. Mm. So that left us without a premier game for our ADF team. And with discussions with the VWFL, this is how it came about.
Fabulous. And the game's tomorrow. Where is it?
It's at Northport Oval in Port Melbourne.
Uh-huh. Beautiful ground. Mm. What time?
Yes. The game will kick off at 1400.
Oh, very good, Lieutenant Colonel.
Now, Danny, you're coach of the ADF All-Stars. Now, like a lot of Defence Forces sport, very different to local sport because you've got people from all over the country who have suddenly found themselves together.
Yep, that's exactly right. And every year we face this challenge. We get a total of 4 days for the girls to come together, form as a team, get to know each other from a playing perspective and bond so that when they run on the ground on Sunday, they're good to go.
And is this your first year coaching, Danny?
This is my second year coaching the ADF team,
yep.
which is a great privilege, I must say.
And are they called the Crackers?
The Crackers.
Yeah, the Glatz Crackers.
We like to refer to ourselves as Fearsome Warriors.
Oh, very good. And what are your colours?
We're the tricolours. So they're the colours of the three services, which is red for Army, navy blue for the Navy, and light sky blue for Air Force.
In the vertical stripes, as in St Kilda?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And how did you go last year?
We won. It was our fourth win in a row, so we're hoping to continue that going.
Oh, well, you were successful, so you've been reappointed. There was no court martial for you.
No, that's exactly right. My boss keeps saying with a smile that my job's secure just as long as we keep winning.
Mm. Danny, how does your team break down in terms of Army, Navy, Air Force?
The majority of the players come from Army and Navy, with a smaller group from Air Force. So the way that we select the team is 2 weeks ago, the ADF has their national carnival, which is where both men and women, Army team, Navy team and Air Force team come together in Melbourne to compete against each other. And from that carnival is how we pick the ADF team. And this year it was the Army and Navy team that went through to the grand final to compete for the Jeff Ledger Cup, with Army coming on top, but the end result being that most of the team is Army and Navy.
Now, I'm guessing, Danny, that the Air Force personnel who are pilots aren't allowed to play footy. Would that be right?
I don't think it's that they're not allowed to play football, but I think when you're a pilot, you are certainly very conscious of risks that would impact your career. So, yes, I don't think over the last 15 years we've ever had a pilot come and play or be real good.
And prior to the game, you'll be observing a ceremony and Anzac protocol, Danny?
Oh, absolutely, yes. So the key part of this game for us is that it's a commemoration on Anzac Day weekend. So a big part of it is not just the playing, but that we take the opportunity to pause and reflect on all those personnel who have served and are still serving and the sacrifices that they've made for security of our nation.
And okay. The captains, I understand, from both sides will present the ode and the last post will be bugled.
Yeah, that's correct. Before the start of the game, that has become the tradition of how we start the match.
Are you in the officer's mess, are you? It's a
bit of... Currently.
Yes. Bit of noise in the background.
That's the team. We're just currently doing a bit of a team building activity.
Good.
And so when you are addressing the team before the game or at quarter time, half time, do you put all the players on a board and push them around with a long stick?
like, like a big mud mat on the ground, yes.
That's the way to do it.
It's all electronic these days.
That's why you've won four in a row, of course.
That's all right.
Yeah. Danny, tell us about your own footy background.
I actually started playing football in 1998, which was 2 years after I joined the Army. I was at the Defence Force Academy at the time, and a bunch of mates and I, who were Victorians, we were really keen to start football, but that opportunity wasn't there for us. So we basically started our own competition and started playing nine-a-side games on half a field on Wednesday nights in the freezing Canberra winter.
But of course, I'm guessing at Duntroon or whatever it was called back then or is called now, you would have had people with footy backgrounds from Darwin and Perth and all over the place.
Oh, that's exactly right. And that is what the tradition is still today. You know, we have girls on this team. A lot of girls have come from Darwin, a number from Brisbane, one from Perth, one from Adelaide, many from Canberra and Sydney. So, you know, everyone's bringing different experiences and different backgrounds to the team.
And what are you expecting from the VWFL tomorrow? They must be a bit snarly that they can't knock you off.
I would be surprised if they don't come out with a vengeance. The theme that I've noticed is that we every year they come back a little bit harder than the year before, not surprisingly. So last year's game was a real challenge. It went right down to the wire. So I'm expecting the VWFL to come out particularly hard with a very tough team.
And just one final one for you, Danny. Billy was asking about the jumper before and the colours of it and all. There's been a bit of confusion this week about jumpers that have been made, especially for Anzac games over this weekend. And I think in some leagues they're not allowed to wear them because it clashes with the AFL's apparel sponsor. But you are wearing the Australian-made Puma jumpers, is that correct? And I'm advised that they'll be sold after the match with proceeds going to the RSL's Anzac appeal.
That's certainly what the VWFL will be doing. So there are three VWFL teams who will be playing tomorrow. Yep. They'll have their under-22 Vic Country versus Metro team, and then, of course, their VWFL representative side, and you're dead set right. They'll be wearing the RSL's Anzac appeal 100 years for 100 teams jumpers, and I believe they'll be auctioning them off to fundraise for RSL afterwards again.
We want one of your jumpers. The Defence Force one sounds fantastic.
The mixture of colours. Look, Danny, obviously you're in the middle of important preparation for tomorrow's game, but I'm just intrigued, when you're not coaching the footy side, what's your role in the Army?
My day job is I'm a signals officer, so that means I work in communications and information systems.
Goal umpire.
Waving the flags.
Hey,
Danny.
Exactly.
So, Danny, thanks for talking to us. You can stand easy now.
My pleasure.
And we'll dismiss you.
Thank you very much.
No, good luck. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks.
Likewise.
Danny.
Have a good weekend.
All the best for tomorrow. That's Lieutenant Colonel Danny Glatz, who's coaching the ADF All-Stars, defending their Anzac Cup title against the VWFL All-Stars. 2 o'clock tomorrow, Arvo.
Down at Port.
Port.
Down Port. Now, get a Burra Burger down there.
Oh, are they good too, weren't they, down there? Now, Champy, we checked in with earlier in the program. He's on a houseboat, can you believe?
No, not a houseboat.
Riverboat.
Oh, riverboat.
It's a...
With Sigrid Thornton.
Yeah.
You expect Mark Twain to turn up. Yeah.
And Johnny Waters. John always falling in the waters. So he's up
Big
there.
Big Will keeps on turning.
He's up there with Proud Mary. So he's not here, but we've still got a bit of Champy here from the archives, because it is, as we were just talking about, Anzac Day. Yeah. And the big Anzac Day clashes on Monday between Essendon and
Collingwood. You know that some people are saying that because Essendon have sort of transgressed the unwritten rule, that they shouldn't be allowed to play the Anzac Day.
Who said that?
Oh, that's rubbish.
Yeah.
Did you get their names?
No, I will.
Who are these people?
I'll hunt them down.
Where do they live?
Get Margaret Thatcher onto them. And, of course, one of the most memorable was the 2009 clash. I must say, that's the only one I've been to. And in the last bit, it was pulsating. I thought the grandstand was going to fall down.
Light rain was falling, wasn't it?
Correct.
And it was when Zaka burst on the scene.
So Collingwood's a few goals up in time on. The Pie Cheer Squad leader had put on his renowned piece of apparel. And then I think Ricky Dyson might have slotted one from the pocket. then someone, I think Paddy Wright or someone might have kicked one on the run, because had not the big ruckman gone off early, David Hill might have done his knee.
Yes, that's right, yes.
And then, of course, a young David Zaharakis. When he kicked the goal, I thought the stand was going to fall down. It was unbelievable. And so, Champs recalled all this in this song.
Only 5 minutes left now in the big Anzac Day clash. And Magpies leading by 3 goals. Bombers clearly done their dash. Zaharakis kicks a miracle. And over in the Pies cheer squall. He had his gold jacket on. He had his gold jacket on. You would think you'd be safe now. 14 points up in time on. Bombers are not Houdinis. They look well and truly gone. So he reaches into his bag, thinking, cop this S and don't. He put his gold jacket on. He put his gold jacket on. Only 5 seconds left to play. Zaharakis bangs away. He had his gold jacket on. He had his gold jacket on. Oh, yeah.
You're back with the Could Have Been Champions on 774 ABC Melbourne and ABC Victoria.
Thank you very much, Unc. That's right. You're back with the Could Have Been. It's good to have you back with us. It's time for us to look at this week in football. Not quite on this day, but very close.
Oh, yeah.
50 clear years ago, can you believe it? Yeah. It's that long ago. Mm. 1966, North Melbourne's Form 4,
yes.
Binding Kyabram teenager Dick Clay expired. And Richmond swooped under the nose of North amid some controversy. Dick Clay went on to become a four-time premiership player for Richmond, and he joins us online. Welcome to the Could Have Been, Dick.
Good morning.
And where do we find you?
We're at the Delightful Ocean Grove.
Beautiful.
It's lovely down here. Yep.
Thought you might have been on the golf course this morning, Dick.
No, I haven't played with Alan Cover for a while.
But
I'm now playing bowls with the old gentleman of Ocean Grove.
Oh, terrific. Because so, I think last time we might have spoken to you, you'd had some issues with your hands, hadn't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're both stuffed, if you like.
So how do you roll the bowl down the rink?
With great difficulty, but I enjoy the company.
Oh, terrific. I'll have to come over one day and have a chat to you and perhaps a quiet... Frothy, Dick.
That'd be good, Ian.
Yeah. Now, Dick, I think in the intro I didn't get it quite right. I think by the time it happened and you were signed by Richmond, you turned 21. Is that right?
That's right, yes. I had to stand out for 2 years, so I didn't start until I was 21.
Now, just tell us how North signed you in the first place.
I'd been a little skinny, little half-forward flanker rover, and then over one summer I sort of grew up and they plonked me at full forward in 1964, and we played a practice match up at Cobram, kicked 9 goals, and there's a fella up there called Les Mogg, who was a former North Melbourne player, and he sent the word down to, I think it was Ron Joseph, who was the recruiting guy, and they sent some people up during that year and sort of signed me up, and I didn't really think I'd be capable of playing or big enough to play league footy. But during that year, I kicked a few goals, finished up kicking 120 goals and won the medal. So that's got things moving a bit.
Yeah. Now, the signing on of what was called a Form 4 back in those days, was there any kind of box of chocolates or anything involved?
It might have been a box of chocolates and a fishing rod, but that was about it. And and that was called the cult of law, and that meant that no other players. Once you signed with somebody, you were bound for them for 2 years.
Yep.
And of course, Tommy Hafey was coaching Shepparton at the time, and he knew of the situation with North Melbourne, but he told Richmond anyway, and they more or less said, "Well, you'd better sit it out." And wait, so it was round three in 1966 I started.
Yeah. Now, Dick, can I quote from the late, great Percy Beam's article in The Age of April the 27th, 1966? And the legendary Richmond president, Mr. Ray Dunn, was asked to comment on an allegation by North Melbourne president, Mr. Tony Traynor, that Richmond had, quote, pirated, unquote, clay from North. Mr. Dunn said, "The statement is not correct. Clay was not influenced in any way by Richmond." Can we just revisit 50 years ago, Dick? Was there any influence at all from Richmond?
No, not really. There was word at the time that there was a car involved. but the story sort of advanced onto that, and there was really just a car radio, but it had a car wrapped around it.
Well, Mr. Dunn went on to say, we know that he was a man of the law. Mr. Dunn said, "It is ridiculous for other clubs to make these suggestions against Clay. He has been pestered by a number of officials from other clubs, and one of the reasons he decided on Richmond was because the club did not pester him." Who pestered you?
I think the main reason was that Tommy Hafey Shepparton beat us 3 years in a row, and it was a case of, if you can't beat him, you better join him. I can understand North Melbourne's situation, but, I mean, at the time, I really didn't think I was capable of playing league footy, and it was just that I sort of filled up and matured a bit, and things started to happen from there.
And who did you barrack for?
I barracked for Collingwood, actually. The old man used to bring me down and watch the Melbourne-Collingwood grand finals, where you'd queue up in the morning at 6 o'clock and get a seat. I used to know all the teams, the Collingwood great teams. Yeah, and my favourite was Thorold Merritt.
Thorold, what a kick. Great player. Yeah. And also a wingman, by the way.
He was. Yeah, well, I started centre forward, but I wasn't big enough to centre forward and a key position player at that stage. And then I went to the wing in 67. And that's when Francis came onto the scene as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Had you known Francis in country footy previously?
We used to play school footy against Natalia and Rochester and those places, and we used to come up against Francis, and he was pretty formidable sort of a character then.
And when you first came down, you were playing on match permits. And for those who have never heard of that, how did the match permit system work?
I can't recall the match permit business. As far as I knew, I know I had to go to the tribunal on the Wednesday night before my first game because of the allegations, but Graham Richmond had a pretty good advocate there, and I got off. But no, I don't think there was any match permits involved.
If I just may interrupt, Dick, we're talking to Dick Clay, former Richmond legend, about how 50 years ago he found his way to Richmond. Ron Carter reported in The Age the following day to Percy Beams' report, "Dick Clay, one of the most controversial VFL recruits for years, was yesterday granted 3 match permits to play with Richmond, and they were granted by Kyabram Footy Club. So they allowed you to go and play the 3 games with Richmond."
Well, that might be the case, but I haven't got any recollection of that, to be honest at all, no.
And you've only won a premiership in 1967 as a wingman, so that's a pretty good start in your league career. I've often been intrigued, who did you play across the centre line with the most in your career at Richmond? Billy Barrett was in the centre.
Billy was in the centre. Francis was there.
And how did you and Francis work out which side and who you were going to take when you ran out?
Well, it was just a case of, whichever we were turning into it with our right foot sort of thing into the middle of the ground. But if there was another player, Tommy and the selection committee would sort of say, I'd like Dickie to play on so-and-so or Francis to play on so-and-so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but really 9 times out of 10, it was just whoever happened to be honest. That's who we played against. But I know later on there was a story that Brian Wood and Wayne Walsh worked out together because I went to fullback and Berkey went to the halfback flank, and Walshy and Brian Wood always said, "Well, what's the big deal about Burke, Barrett and Clay?" He said, "Walsh, Stewart and Wood won 3 Brownlow medals."
That's a very good point.
And what are your memories of that first game that you played?
Oh, against Teddy Whitten.
Against Teddy Whitten. Was that the day you rubbed mud in your face?
No, that was later on when he had the squirrel grip on me and I was defenceless. But it was against Teddy. But him and Jack Collins had been up to Coabram recruiting, and he called in to see us a couple of times. So I sort of knew him, but it was a good initiation. I got a few kicks early in the first half, but he quieted me down after that. But I mean, you're playing Teddy Whitten, you learn more in that first, a couple of hours, and you learn for the next 5 years. He was not only a hard nut, but he was a good bloke with it.
And, of course, as we know, you started on the, you were a centre-half forward, a crack full forward, I think you described by Percy Beams as. Played on the wing and ended up at full-back, Dick.
Yeah, well, they didn't have anybody there, and it was said, if you can mark and kick and that sort of thing. And Tommy just said to me, all you have to do is kick the ball to the middle of the ground, and you've done your job. But didn't know. I was reading the teams out at that time, and I didn't see my name in the wing, and I thought, oh, bugger it, I've got the flick. And then the old man said to me, "No, you're not. You're a fullback." So that's how you found out in those days. There was no mention of it on the Tuesday and Thursday night.
Did you do drop kicks when you kicked in from fullback, Dick?
No. The drop kick was gone by that stage. I remember doing a couple on the wing, but you didn't have time. It was pretty quick, and you didn't have time to do drop kicks. Maybe Barry Cable and Skiltz were the last people to do the drop kicks.
Now, Dick, once you made the move from the wing to fullback, you were playing in an era that was a golden age for full forwards. I mean, every week you would have been up against someone who's now looked back on as a legend. Who were some of the toughest to play on?
Oh, gee, we had there was Doug Wade, of course, at Geelong. Mm-hmm. There was Peter McKenna. There was Peter Hudson. There was Alex Jesolenko. There was Templeton from Footscray. Alan Noonan. The list goes on, and there was a few sleepless nights there for sure on a Friday night. I think the fact that I was able to back my judgment a bit, when you played in a key position like at Coy Abram and that, you get to have a plan B. If I couldn't push and shove with Wadey or Peter Hudson, but you just back your judgment and you sort of hope and pray that the centre line are putting pressure on so it's not coming down too easy. Mm.
Was there one player in particular that gave you more trouble than the others?
Yeah, I think probably Jezza. With Peter Hudson, they were down the bottom at that time and the ball didn't come down there that often, but with Jezza, he was so good in the air and he was so good on the ground as well. So, he was pretty difficult. Peter McKenna, of course, because they had Barry Price and Tully and the Richardson brothers putting it down his throat. So, it was not easy.
And did you ever get opposed to Royce Hart at training?
Possibly in practice matches, but Royce was a special player. Royce was a bit like Jezza. He was great in the air and super on the ground. And I remember when he was playing on the wing, if Royce got a mark or a free kick within 50 metres or so, you just run back to the middle because it was going to be a goal. That's the disappointing part about today's players. I think the kicking for goal and Royce was just dynamite.
Wasn't he ever?
And what saw you out of the game in 76, Dick? Had you been injured or had you just your body given up?
Yeah, I was getting to that stage. I was probably slowing down a bit, and I didn't want to finish my career in the reserves. Mm-hmm. I'd played one game over 220 or whatever in the reserves, and I thought I didn't want to play. I didn't want to finish up being a reserves player. So I made that decision then and there.
And did you go coaching?
Not for the rest of that year, but the following year I coached Paran in the association.
That's right.
Yeah.
Gee, that was a soft league, wasn't it, Dick?
and they were a great club for him, and no longer going, but I felt that I got the side ready for Mick Irwin and Sam Kikovic when they come along, and they had Wayne Johnson there as well. So it was a premiership waiting to happen.
And have they got something to honour you up back at the old Kyabram Footy Club, Dick?
Yeah, there's a pavilion up there. Wolf Cox was the old president at the time, and they've got a photo of me up there in one of the rooms.
Yeah.
So that's all very nice. I'm going back to Kyabram in August. They've made me a life member.
Patron?
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer, that's
fantastic.
The one.
Legend. Yeah.
So that'll be nice.
Yeah. Well, all footy fans, but Richmond fans in particular, must always be grateful to the Kyabram secretary, Mr. N. Stagg, who actually issued the permits for you to come down and play for Richmond.
That's a great, Norm was his name, and he was a great old friend of ours.
Right, well, he's mentioned in this story here by Ron Carter.
we'll let you get back down to the bowling rink.
Yeah.
Good on you. Thanks for that.
Great to talk to you, Dick.
Great talking with you. Mm. Dick Clay, how's that? 50 years ago, almost to the day, Richmond swooped within hours of his Form 4 expiry.
I remember it well.
I have a fabulous memory of watching Richmond and Geelong at Cadinia Park, and he was opposed to Tony Polinelli that day.
Was he?
Who was very, very fast, and the ball went out wide onto the...
Moorabool Street side.
And they both had to race. No one else was around. They both had to race for it. And Polinelli's little legs were going, you know.
Like Puopolo's.
Yes. And Dick Clay was long and loping strides. And they reached the ball at the same time. Oh, it was quite magnificent.
And that's stuck with you for 50 years.
Yeah. Well, that's the era of classy wingmen.
It's the romance of football.
Yeah, that was the day.
Bring it back.
A few handy names just being reeled off by Dick there when he was playing fullback.
Exactly. And whenever a patch of grass opened up in front of him, what would the supporters call out when Tony Polinelli took off? Racehorse,
yeah, exactly. Wonderful stuff.
Tony used to smoke a pipe at half time.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Magnificent.
Bring it back.
You're with the Could've Been Champions on ABC local radio. We've got to get a wriggle on here. I'm going to go around the panel now. I want to know what everybody learned today. I'm going to start with you, Torch. What did you learn today?
Well, I learned that Peter Carey wasn't told until Friday before the grand final that he'd actually got the gig.
Extraordinary.
I mean,
Thursday.
Absolutely extraordinary. Billy Baxter, what did you learn today?
Well, disappointingly, I learnt that Lieutenant Colonel Danny Glatz won't be pushing the players' positions around on the big mud board with the long rod.
No, she'll be doing it all on an iPad.
Yes. All electronically.
Ian Cover, what did you learn today?
I learnt today that the secretary of the Cobram Football Club was Norm Stagg.
And great friend of the Clays.
Three match permits.
And in that context, I'm delighted to know that 50 years down the track that Richmond in no way attempted to pirate Dick Clay.
That's right.
No, and as it said in the article by Percy Bean, nor did they pester him.
No, there was no pirating or pestering.
And that's why he chose Richmond.
Hey, what about that? What about today? Every week there's a story, like last year. Is Dangerfield going back to Geelong, you know? Is that bordering on pestering?
No, clearly pestering. I learned today also that that Kai Abram have got a photo of Dick Clay in the room.
Yeah, that's
as
great.
That's really good.
Yeah.
They might have one of Gary Lyon there too.
And Dick Clay's been admitted to the Hall of Fame up there.
So he should be.
Yeah, well,
not long overdue.
Anzac Day weekend is always a huge weekend in football, so it's massive for the media, of course, having to stretch wide and far to cover it all. Only one place to go, the news desk of Outside Football. Sam the Sub kindly joins us every Saturday morning at this time. Good morning, Sam.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen.
How are you, Sam?
Yeah, very well, thanks, Ian.
Gearing up for a big weekend?
Yes, it's been a big week and a big weekend. So, I've just come in from giving a masterclass.
Yeah, in what, journalism?
Yeah, well, roughly speaking, out in the back alley to a cadet trying to drum what an adjectival phrase is.
Okay.
So I'm a bit spent, Ian. Excuse me if I'm not my exuberant self.
I was just quoting from a couple of newspaper articles from The Age from about 50 years ago, the late, great Percy Beames.
Yes, I remember Percy well. He guided me through my early career.
And Ron Carter?
Yes, Curly.
Yeah, Curly, that's right.
Good he was man, Curly.
He took over as chief football writer from Percy Beames.
He did indeed.
Yeah. So you've worked with them all.
Yes, I have worked with them, and I'm still in the Cape around.
I hope some of those young cadets that you've been giving masterclasses to will one day talk about how they worked with you, Sam.
Not much chance of that, Ian.
do they have photos of old journalists up in the
on the wall,
the wall at outside football?
No, we've just got pin boards here with, to run them through adjectival phrase, dangling participles, how to use an apostrophe. All of that, but anyway, let's get away from the officers onto the publication.
Do you hold the publication off until after the Anzac Day game on Monday?
No, we do. We're to press and out in circulation as per usual, Ian, but next week we will have an Anzac Day lift out, especially in the middle of the paper.
Right. Are you dispensing a reporter at all to watch Collingwood before that? Because there's some talk Travis Cloak, he might be playing on that ground. You went to Richo. You were a week early. Some talk that Travis might be dropped.
Most of the journos I've got here I'd like to dispense with permanently. Anyway, last night Hawthorn snuck in again, third time in a row. In like tin.
No.
They are a little bit lucky that way. And we look at the issue of the AFL scrapping.
Scrapping?
The replay grand final, should that be okay?
Oh, extra time.
Carolyn Sheehan's done a searing piece. This is Walkley award-winning stuff, in my opinion. Looking at the league creating situations of overcoming things that might happen when they've got a full list of things that are happening and they need to address. play it again, Sham. a little sport, of course.
Yeah.
He's off to the dish lickers.
Oh, really?
That's side splitting.
They still have him down at Olympic Park, Sam.
And we continue our footy card series.
Oh, yes.
Footy business cards. Remember the days footballers had jobs? Delta Hair Care Supplies. D.G. Wade and J.N.W. Newman, principals.
That's right. I think it might have been Delva with a V.
Yeah, what did I say?
Delta.
Yes, it is Delta. Delva.
Delva. I think it was Delva.
Yes, yeah, sorry, Ian. I had, you know, when you put your stubby on the paper and the condensation makes it a little curly. It is Delva Hair Care Supplies.
Yes.
D.G. Wade and J.N.W. Newman, principals. Top Cats for Top Cuts.
Yeah.
Tangles mangled, tresses dressed, good news for hood blues. Of course, a very smart move for those gentlemen to get into hair care supplies because they had to visit the hairdressers.
Yeah, correct.
Good way to meet people.
Exactly right. Right throughout Western Victoria.
Yes. So that's the publication, Outside Football. We're on the outside looking in.
Yeah. Good on you, Sam.
Thanks again, Sam.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Terrific. And we look forward to that Anzac match special with the lift out that'll come up later in the week. It's time now for Goodamine's Footy Talkback, your chance to have your say. Get something off your chest, perhaps. Get a question you want asked and out there. Torch will do his best to answer it, and if he can't, you'll pass it on to the correct authorities, won't you, Torch?
I will.
Goodamine's Talkback first caller. We're ready to go now, and they're ready to talk to you. Torch, hello.
Hello.
Torchy Mays.
Who's calling, please?
Wayne out the Wong Turner, Torchy.
Wayne, you're a Tiger supporter?
I am a Tiger supporter, mate. Drink and drive like a bloody idiot. That's our logo.
Okay, you got a footy question for us, Wayne.
Not a question as such.
Go
Me
ahead.
Me and Fuzznuts are bringing a class action against the AFL, mate, for restraint of trade.
In what way? What's happening there?
If there's no replay, then we don't get as much remuneration because we can't scalp tickets for the second AFL grand final, mate.
Wow, well, I mean,
and
yes,
we need a job.
Yes.
I told you about Fuzznuts.
Yes.
He wanted to be a garbo because he only thought they worked on Tuesday.
Right. But any jobs in the prospect, Wayne?
I think he's gone.
Oh, he's gone. Okay.
Yeah. Wayne's unhappy about this new grand final.
Oh, there's
Have
a lot
you got
of people.
An opinion on it, Torch?
Oh, I think I like the replay too.
Yeah,
a lot of opportunity there.
I like it. Yeah. Next caller, you're talking to Torch. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hey, Torch.
Oh, who's calling, please?
It's Nigel, Torch.
Nigel, and calling from?
I'm in North Fitzroy.
Yes.
Really excited about the footy, Torch.
Really?
Yeah, well, you know, the Fremantles, my team, are barrack for the Fremantles. They're playing the Blues, and we're going down to North Fitzroy Star to watch it tomorrow. And,
right.
Yeah, so we're really into it.
I'm not sure if they have a TV in the North Fitzroy Star.
Oh, they'll find one for us. We've jumped on because the Fremantles are ironic again.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
They became so mainstream, and now they've fallen into kitsch.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
They're like Nokia phones or drinking McWilliams cream sherry flagons. They're really cool because they're ironic.
That's great.
So we're on the purple white V's again.
All right, well, get on board. That's true.
No one's pointed that out.
No.
They've lost, what, four in a row?
They have.
Yeah, they are ironic again.
Yep.
Next caller here on Could Have Been's Footy Talk Back. You're talking to Torch. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello, Torch.
Yes, who's calling, please?
It's Stan here.
And calling from?
I'm calling from Stradbroke Island.
Ah, now, you're a bit of a...
I like studying facts and figures.
Yes.
But before I ask a question,
right.
I'd just like to pass a comment. Oh, no, sorry, before I pass a comment, I would like to ask a question.
Right, go ahead.
I'm trying to compile facts and figures.
Yes.
On the win-loss ratio for AFL teams beaten wearing a alternative strip which is predominantly white. I think it'll be very high in the loss column.
I think you might be right there. Yes.
Another one last night bit the dust.
Yes.
Metaphorically speaking.
One that they should have won too.
Anyway, that was so. If people can supply me from information,
I'm sure that you could go back through the archives.
Patrick
there,
Keane or Carl Hutchison at the AFL know that.
I'm sure they're onto it.
Now, I just want to also pass comment. We've had a month. I heard Ian earlier saying that he had a lot of observations after 1 month about the league.
Yes.
Here's mine. I know it's always an indecent race by media people to select their All-Australian squad of the year. I've got mine already. I've been talking to Mr. Graham Martin, and he so advises.
Right.
The back line, N. Smith, S. Thompson, S. Thompson. Halfbacks, B. Smith, Z. Smith, J. Smith.
Right.
Centres, B. Hill, S. Hill, J. Hill. Half forwards, J.P. Kennedy, J.J. Kennedy, B. Kennedy, Melbourne. Forwards, T. Lynch, A. Kennedy. Rucks, S. Martin, D. Martin. The rover is J. Martin. Interchange, J. Chengrove, T. Walker, A. Walker, J. Walker, D. Smith, and C. Smith. Western Bulldogs.
Really?
Do you like that?
I do. Like it very much.
I love it.
Whether it comes true or not, Torch, I'm glad we heard it.
I'm glad.
You're listening to Could Have Been Footy Talk Back here on ABC Local Radio. Next caller, Torch, is ready to go. Hello there.
Hello.
Is it my turn? Is it?
Dear? It is. Yes. Who's calling, please?
Hello, dear.
Yes. Hello. Who's calling, please?
It's Pearl here.
Pearl, and where are you calling from?
On the peninsula.
Down on the Mornington Peninsula.
I was listening to your show, and I heard the gentleman say they're not going to have the grand final replay. Is that correct?
No, they're not going to have, if there's a draw.
Well, what if somebody can't actually go to the match, but they want to watch it on the television that night?
Well, they can actually...
They've always replayed it. I remember sitting down and watching it and being quite entertained. I had a little stable table I propped on my knee, and I had my dinner while I was watching it. I don't follow any particular team, but I just like a good old-fashioned contest.
Okay. We might have to...
Well, can you clarify, Torch?
Well, the replay means that if there's a draw in the grand final, the game will not then be replayed the following week.
But that's not like the old-fashioned footy replay.
No, that's different.
That's where the confusion arose.
Yes.
Next caller, you're talking to Torch. Hello.
Hello.
Oh,
who's this?
It's Marty here, mate.
Marty, where are you calling from?
I'm Maribyrnong, mate.
Maribyrnong, that's
hey,
you got a footy question for us,
mate? Oh, yeah, you mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the old days of the Centax Footy Club.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, I remember those days down at Albert Park. They were some rough and tumble games, weren't they?
Oh, well, they were, yes.
Yeah, I remember one game in, 74? We were playing Vic-Tax. I think their halfback flanker didn't take too kindly to one of your painted shepherds.
Right.
You ended up getting audited in 75.
Okay.
I remember that. Good old days.
Okay, thanks, Marty.
Did that really happen, Torch?
No, because I wasn't playing in 74. Yeah.
You sure?
Yes.
Next caller, you're talking to Torch.
Hello.
Not a big meal, but generally just sardines on toast.
Thank you, Phil. Okay. That's fine. Any more, every check?
Yes, next caller, you're talking to Torch.
Hello?
We got you going.
Ah, oh, who's calling, please?
You got it here, Hans.
Hans, calling from?
Dorf.
And,
what happened last night with that game?
Yes.
That Hawthorn didn't make it very good, not win from too much late in the game.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying.
What am I saying?
You're saying that Hawthorn beat the Crows.
That isn't what I'm saying.
What are you saying?
I'm saying this one, you listen to here, it's absolutely nice. Put this on your show. They didn't got it a little bit into the game with the kick on the mark. You know what I'm saying?
Not quite.
Listen again.
Yes.
I got it, this thing, for you.
Yes.
Nobody else.
Yes, okay.
They got it, the hooks, mid the cross, and that footy. It's absolutely nice.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that, Hans.
Am I right?
Yeah, you are. You're always right, Hans.
Whoa.
Yes. So there's Crow supporters.
Turmoil with the Crow supporters.
I think so. I'm still a little bit confused.
Thanks, Hans. Next caller, you're talking to Torch.
Hello.
G'day, Torch.
Oh, who's calling, please?
Cliff here, mate.
Cliff, calling from?
Clematis.
How's the weather up there today, Cliff?
Disappointing, mate.
Really?
Hasn't rained for a while.
No, it's been a bit dry, isn't it?
Mm. Hey, listen, mate, heard a rumour from a mate of mine who works down in the city. He was down St Kilda Road going past those army barracks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've had a conversation down there. Pity I didn't get to ring you earlier. I might have been able to run this rumour past the Lieutenant Colonel you had on before.
Yes, that's right.
I think she was talking about them having a football team, women's football team.
Correct.
Or made up of what, Army, Air Force and Navy?
That's right, yes.
Yeah, rumour has it he was going past and he noticed several AFL coaches coming out of the army barracks. They'd been in there apparently for a talk.
Right.
The rumour is that the... Since this new rule's come in about not letting the ball go out of bounds,
right.
You know, you get a free kick, so you put a kick, it goes out of bounds.
Yep.
You know the rule.
I know. I've seen it in action. Yes.
Yeah. Well, apparently, these coaches were down there. I think Kevin Sheedy might have been behind it because he's a junior. And the rumour is to train up players so that they don't fall for that trap of running the ball out of bounds. In the next pre-season, each club is going to go and have a practice match on the deck of an aircraft carrier.
Wow, that's very innovative.
You can't afford to let the ball go out.
No, you can't there. Well, you won't get it back.
That'll sharpen him up.
That's right, yes.
Check that out for us, Mike.
I will, for sure, yes.
That is a cracker, Torch. Yes. Look, that's all the calls we've got time for. For those people waiting online who couldn't get through, I'm sorry, but perhaps better luck next week. We're racing up to the end of the show here. It's time for us to get a preview of Grandstand. Jared Waitley is up in the comm box at the Sydney Cricket Ground. Jared.
Richo, it's raining at the SCG again.
No, the Swans are no good in the wet.
We spent a whole test match sitting here with the covers on, and the covers are still on. I presume it's been raining in Sydney ever since January.
Is it the wettest ground in football?
It's the wettest state in Australia, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or so, just every time we come here.
Is Duckworth and Lewis playing?
Well, they'll be needed at some stage.
Well, would you call it a soft five, Jared?
I reckon it might be a bit worse than that, from the view up here, and it'll be. It looks wet at both ends, so it'd be interesting. As I know, the Swans are dry trackers traditionally, but West Coast are hardly mudlarks, are they?
No.
I think I like the Swans here. This helps the pecking order games like last night and today.
Yeah, I'm surprised you've got any energy left after last night.
Oh, what a beauty. That's footy. Yeah.
That's footy, all right.
We've been missing it for a while.
We look forward to Grandstand in just a few minutes' time. Jared Waitley and the team joining you after midday. It's good morning to Torch McGee.
Yeah, go Bloods this afternoon.
Billy Baxter.
Enjoy your football.
Ian Cover.
Go Cats tonight.
Thanks as always to Andy Belairs and thanks to you for listening. Stay tuned now.